Hey there, you know, you get to take Alt Latino and more with you on the NPR One app. NPR One finds you the best from public radio and beyond. Surprising interviews, your favorite podcast, and now an easy way to listen to your favorite local public radio station live. NPR One is ready to make driving, commuting, or cleaning the house, or smoking a cigar all that much more better. Find NPR One on your app store. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. You know, every February has been set aside here in the U.S. as Black History Month, and it's a special time to recognize the contributions to the great story of our country. And this month here in Alt Latino, we're going to do our part, just as we do all year long, to put a spotlight on Afro-Latino culture and music and its contribution to our collective musical identity. And to help us, we've invited Dan Sheehy. Dan is curator emeritus of Smithsonian Folkways Records. And I gotta say, an old friend of mine. Dan, welcome.
Great to be here, Felix. Thanks so much for inviting me.
And what Dan has done is dug deep into Folkway archives and bringing out some spectacular examples of Afro-Latino music performed throughout Latin America and the U.S. And we're going back in time to 1957, the year before I was born, for this track. What are we listening to?
This is just one selection of what was originally a 14 LP series put together by one of the great scholars of Afro-Cuban legacy, Lidia Cabrera. What we're hearing here is our songs of worship, the Oru, that are out of a Nigerian-based tradition, the Lukumi language, Yoruba culture. And so you hear the three drums called the Bata drums that these days, many people in the United States are very familiar with Bata because they're all over the place, particularly on both coasts. And so you have the set of three drums, the Iya, the Itotele, and the Okonkolo, different sized hourglass drums that interlock in a really complex, intricate, and beautiful fashion.
From the Afro-Cuban culture from the Smithsonian Folkways archives. Before we move on to the next track, Dan, tell us a little bit about Smithsonian Folkways. Give us a little snapshot history of what it's all about.
Smithsonian Folkways Recordings is the nonprofit educational record label of the National Museum, the Smithsonian Institution. It actually started as a private company in 1948, launched by Moses Ash, who was a recordist. His passion in life was recording music, and he worked with many people from around the world, and he had this vision of creating an encyclopedia of humanity through recorded sound. And over the years, until he died in 1986, he published 2,168 recordings, which, you know, he had a staff of like one and then a few part-timers. That I did the calculation. That was like an album a week or something like that.
Wow.
It was an amazing output. And so that legacy came to the Smithsonian Institution in 1987 officially as a collection of the National Museum. And part of the conditions included that the collection would be more than a collection just sitting in an archive somewhere. It would be a living, breathing, working record label, always driven by mission more than finance, as Moses Ash always was with his mission-driven record label. And it's there today, and the recording we just heard is a part of one of its several special series called Tradiciones/Traditions, music of Latino culture that are a particular relevance to the population in the United States.
And that's what we're focusing on today with some of the recordings that you brought in. Now, that goes back to 1957, and next we're going to play a track that is going to come out in March of this year. We're going to preview a track from the group Quetzal, which is based in Southern California.
So here we are 60 years later, and Afro-Cuban culture has spread far and wide in the United States, particularly in the two coastal urban areas. And Quetzal is a remarkable group that is based in East Los Angeles. And Quetzal Flores is the leader, and the lead singer is his spouse, Marta Gonzalez. And Marta studied Afro-Cuban music. What Quetzal does is really, you know, they talk about traditional music being sometimes people think of it as old-time stuff. But the position that I took as curator of the label and of the collection is that is something I got from Roberto Martinez, a late musician from New Mexico, who once said, you know, music isn't traditional unless it stays in tune with its community. If it falls out of touch with its base community, it's not traditional anymore. And Quetzal, the group, is a great example of this. They draw from the Mexican-American traditions in East Los Angeles, and they draw from other traditions that make up that community, such as rhythm and blues, in this case, Afro-Cuban music, and of course, central to their music through and through is the son jarocho, as well as rock and roll. So, a nice mix, but that's reality.
And reflecting their modern take on tradition, the album's called Quetzal, The Eternal Get Down.
Yes, that's right. The Eternal Get Down. It's March 10th is when it will see the light of day or the ear of day.
Stop!
Such a natural combination, the jarocho that's played in three, right?
Yeah.
And then the bata drums, it's like based in a six.
And that's what pulled me, that's one of the first things I noticed when I got into all this stuff, actually from African music to son jarocho and all manner of musics from the Caribbean.
The affinity, that beat, you know.
Yeah, and there's an affinity, and if you look at it in detail, it's a structural thing too. It's like right there. It's like in your face if you're familiar with West African music.
Yeah, it's almost like when you notate it out, you can superimpose, and everything like falls right on the beat.
Totally true.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did notate it many times as part of my studies.
That is the track Olukun Iyemaya from the group Quetzal, from their upcoming album Quetzal, The Eternal Get Down. Dan, you know, they have done a number of albums for Folkways, correct?
Imaginaries was the previous album that Quetzal did, and that won a Grammy, I'm happy to say.
So let's talk about that for a second. Folkways, if people are not familiar with it, would think about it as, you know, kind of museum-y, let's, you know, this is important stuff, like eat your vegetables kind of thing. But you guys win Grammys, man, right?
Eat your vegetables. Fortunately, I'm at the point where I love vegetables. And I think a lot of people in the group Quetzal would agree with me on that as far as that goes. Yeah, you know, Folkways is many things to many different people. To some people, it's a children's label because it's a very strong collection since the mid-1950s of children's music. To others, it's a Americana label, meaning like Anglo, African-American, you know, think Leadbelly, think Woody Guthrie, think Pete Seeger. But it's also a world music label going back to the 50s as Moses Ash started to collect all these things. And this has been right at the core of the Smithsonian Folkways recording since 1987. And again, you know, being the curator, I thought about this a lot. Tradition does not stand still. If it stands still for too long, in one way or in all ways, then it's dead, basically. Tradition is a living thing. It's vibrant. It's creative. You look at just about any traditional artist, and that person is pouring themselves into it as well as taking from generations of people before them. We have this Traiciones series. Part of the concept was music that's more than music. That is music that represents something bigger than any one group, any one person, any one artist. It's something that represents a way of life.
So what are we going to hear next now from your list?
Well,
let's poke around your archive here.
Well, I mentioned Son Jarocho, and we heard a little bit of Son Jarocho in the Quetzal track, so maybe that would be a good place to move into. We have... There's an album, part of the series, Tradiciones, Last Traditions, that's called La Bamba, original title, right? but it was on purpose because La Bamba is an iconic song of the Son Jarocho tradition, which is an iconic tradition. And so the Son Jarocho, Jose Gutierrez, he's the lead singer, the requinto melody guitar player, and he's joined by two brothers from a ranch around Tierra Blanca in the state of Veracruz on the Gulf of Mexico, which is where African Afro-Latino culture is very strong. So this is a signature song of a signature group of a signature tradition of a main region of Mexico that's now quite well known in many parts of the United States. It's called Siki Sidi.
NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast. What has pointy ears, a cape, a huge ego, and knees that don't bend? That's right, Lego Batman. To get the skinny on his new movie and lots of other good stuff to watch and read, find Pop Culture Happy Hour on the NPR One app or at npr.org/podcasts.
Oye, no nomás, compadre.
Listo, compadre.
Y esto que le falta un dedo de la pata izquierda, cuñado. ¡Hasta abajo, compadre!
Sones Jarochos from Veracruz, the album's by Jose Gutierrez y los hermanos Ochoa. Siki Sidi is the name of that track as we explore the music of Afro-Latino culture here on Alt Latino this month, on Black History Month. With us is Dan Sheehy, curator emeritus of Smithsonian Folkways Records. Okay, so we've been to Cuba, we've been to Mexico, we've been to East L.A. One of the most impressive things about the Smithsonian archive is that it seems to be endless, and there are tons of places to go to, and I made you pick just a handful of tracks that we had to explore.
This is 8 tracks out of 50,000, just so you know.
So.
when I first arrived as head of Smithsonian Vocalist Recordings, I sat down and estimated how long it would take me if I listened to music 40 hours a week. How long it would take me to listen to the entire Folkways collection. It was about 2 years.
So where are we going next? What do we have?
Well, how about going to Puerto Rico? We have a couple of tracks from there. One kind of rootsy, and then one from New York City that took the roots and did something special with it.
That's appropriate. Let's start with roots first.
Okay. Tito Matos is, he grew up in a poor neighborhood of Santurce, next to San Juan in the island of Puerto Rico. And he heard the kind of music called plena, like all the time growing up. It was played in the streets. It's played particularly around Christmas time, but it's played year-round. And he took that and he ran with it. It's based on three sort of round frame drums. Think tambourine without the jingles. You know, they're called panderetas. And those three drums interlock in a kind of a bass rhythm, a very West African thing. Again, we're talking about the Afro-Latino contributions to culture here. And that's so clearly of, you know, African-based idea. And he formed a group called Viento de Agua. That Viento de Agua, as Tito Matos would explain, as his grandmother used to say, that she could smell the rain coming on the wind that preceded it. And so this is the namesake of this group here. But he has two versions, plugged and unplugged.
Se escapó un león, y eso es lógico, que la gente salga corriendo del zoológico, y dímelo.
Se escapó un león, y eso es lógico, que la gente salga corriendo del zoológico.
This is about a lion that escaped from the zoo. So, ya escapó el león, y eso es lógico, que la gente salga corriendo del zoológico. So the lion escaped from the zoo, and it's logical that all the people would go running out of the zoo, right? So that's the refrain. And then Tito improvises on the small pandereta called requinto, and really, really hits the thing. He just really is right on in this plane in both verse improvisation and his drum improvisation.
Of El León that escaped from the zoo from Tito Matos y Viento de Agua unplugged. While we're still in Puerto Rico, let's go on to the next track you brought in from the island.
Right. This is, has people from the island, but they live in New York. The group was founded in New York. The name is Los Planeros de la Veintiuna. La Veintiuna is 21, translated in English, and it's a bus stop. around Santurce, near San Juan in Puerto Rico. But Juan Gutierrez, who was a very studied percussionist in New York City, went there to study music and be a professional musician. He has very moving stories of how he moved to New York. He felt alone and, you know, without all the connections he had in Puerto Rico. And through music, he found a sense of home. Juan put this piece together with these three bomba rhythms and named it after his daughter. His daughter, Julia Luisa. And so since just like the Afro-Cuban music that we heard, this is that very, very West African style interaction of drummers with a lead drummer and a dancer. So the dancer plays a very active role in the drumming because the dancer will dance, the drummer will play, and they interact, one kind of leading the other in a kind of a, sometimes a friendly competition. And so they had his daughter, Julia Luisa, in the studio dancing to the lead drummer. So even though you can't see her, that's what's going on in this great track called Baila Julia Luisa, Dance Julia Luisa.
Con la luz, hijos y Andrés, recuerdo de la
power of the Puerto Rican bomba.
That's right. And if that lead voice sounded familiar, it's because it's Tito Matos, who who played with Los Planeros for a number of years. He got a degree at City University of New York, and so he was a great addition to Los Planeros de la 21, the group that Juan Gutierrez directs. So one of my favorite examples of that is the recording titled Ayombe, which is something that a lot of times people in the música vallenata tradition of northeastern area of Colombia would say in the middle of a song, Ayombe, which is, they say it comes from Ay Hombre, Ayombe, some people say that.
And with this track, we move over to the accordion.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The accordion is really happening. The last, 20, 30 years, so whether it be in the United States or in the Caribbean, boy, the button accordion has been a major, major, major growth area of música latina from the United States and Latin America, including music that's very profoundly influenced by the African presence in certain areas.
So which track are we going to hear right now?
How about, let's hear Pedazo de Acordeón. This is, I'm an instrument fanatic, so this is one of those.
If you're going to geek out, this is the place to do it.
Yeah, right, beautiful, beautiful. In Colombia, right, música vallenata is like everywhere in Colombia, even though it came from this valley, Valle Dupar. And there's this kind of music called the puya, P-U-Y-A. And at the annual competition, which is a major, major big deal, the king of the accordion is crowned. And this is Maestre, they call him. Maestre is his last name, Pongue is his nickname. And he's one of the great former winners of this contest. And he goes wild in here. The other thing I love about this particular track is that Ivo Diaz sings it. He has this crystal clear trumpet voice, very similar, but very typical of música vallenata. So here we have Ivo Diaz and an all-star lineup of three musicians here singing Pedazo de Acordeón, a piece of accordion.
Thank you.
Serenata music from Colombia, and we're talking Afro-Latino music with Dan Sheehy for Black History Month here on Alt Latino. One of the things I want to point out with Smithsonian Folkways is that you can buy this music directly from the website, correct?
The music is available in just about any format that people use these days, with the major exception of vinyl. A few albums are on vinyl, but you can buy these solid things called CDs that are still around in some of our libraries. You can download it directly from the Folkways website, folkways.si.edu, nonprofit record label, so it all goes to support the cause of Folkways. Or you can go to some of the major music providers, you know, iTunes, Spotify, and all that. On Folkways, you get the liner notes free. So you can find out a lot about the music by going there. You can just download them as PDF files, like right now, without even buying the album. But this is the mission of Smithsonian Folkways Recordings, is to take this music, take the culture behind the music, send the message out as far and wide as possible, and have as much impact as possible in the world, and make the world as we see it, make the world a better place.
And for our last track, we want to bring it back to the U.S. with a track that you brought in. But before we play that, what do you think all of this music says about the Afro-Latino population here in the U.S. and abroad? I mean, what collectively, what does it say?
Well, if you know the bigger story over time, for me, one of the things it says is that, hey, I'm here. You know, the Afro contributions to culture in Latin America went through centuries of being ignored. It's important. It was very, 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 very present, but it was just really ignored. And then in the 20th century, there were movements going called Negritud in the Dominican Republic and other places that brought Lydia Cabrera to that. One of the things that energized her. And even today, you know, you look how they divide people in the census in the United States. There's no box particularly for Afro Latino. Today meaning the last 15, 20 years or so, there's a renaissance, an emergence to the public fore of Afro Latino music from throughout Latin America and in the United States. And these recordings of this music are just little pieces of that magnificent picture of as you were saying, Felix, that you know, it's similar but different. Every place has taken this African heritage and done its own thing with it. And here in the United States today, there's a struggle within a struggle for cultural equity, for recognition, for making sure that Afro-Latino voices, and here through the music is what we're talking about specifically here, but in general, are part of the big discussion, the big sense of who we are as Americans and where we're going to go and who are our leaders, what are our touch points to just to understand who we are as Americans. And Afro-Latinos from many different backgrounds are one of the greatest sources of diversity and of cultural and richness here in the United States of America. And so this selection of tracks from the Smithsonian Folkways collection has been partly, you know, intended to kind of make that point about diversity, about strength, about beauty, about presence as part of the American body politic.
What a wonderful treasure that the Smithsonian Folkways records is for the country, for the world, really. And I got to say, you know, what a great honor and how lucky we are that you were running things there over there for quite a long time.
Thank you, Felix.
And keeping the things going. So, again, thank you, Dan Sheehy, a curator emeritus from Smithsonian Folkways Records. Thank you for joining us here this week.
Well, it's always a pleasure. It's great to be with you, Felix, as we go back quite a ways. And you know, this whole thing for me, it's its own reward. I can't say how much I love the Folkways collection and the work that we've been able to do over the last 15 years.
So let's cap the whole show off with something from New York, from the Dominican population of New York. What'd you bring?
This is a group, Franklin Hernandez y sus Típican Brothers, originally from the Dominican Republic, based in New York. Franklin Hernandez and sus Típicas brothers have created a song called Homenaje, and this is, that's homage or tribute, and that's back to his family members and musical colleagues and friends back in the Dominican Republic. And this is from the album called Quisqueya en el Hudson, Dominican music in New York, Hudson being the river, of course, and it's Quisqueya being the indigenous name for the island that is shared by Dominican Republic and Haiti.
You know, every week at this point in the show, I announce that you can hear every track that we played today in its entirety on our website. And we're going to do that. But, you know, this week I'm going to make a mixtape. I'm going to weave all these songs together.
Cool.
Right? So it's just like one long party.
You kind of get a sense of unity and diversity at the same time in the Afro-Latino thing, right? So, hey, okay. That sounds like a great idea to me.
You can find it on our website at npr.org/altlatino. And also, don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. Dan Sheehy, again, thanks for coming in.
Great to be here, Felix.
My name is Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino.